I believe everyone's ready to begin. Let the record show that it is 12 o'clock noon Central Time on November 30th, 2009. We're present in the Mount Trail County Courthouse in Stanley, North Dakota for a hearing in the matter of an application from Hawthorne Oil Transportation to construct an 8-inch diameter steel crude oil pipeline in Mount Trail County. This is case number PU-09-153. On October 8th, 2009, the Office of Administrative Hearings received a request from the Public Service Commission to provide an administrative law judge to preside in this matter. My name is Bonnie M. Fetch, and I am the duly designated administrative law judge. At this time, I'm going to introduce the members of the Public Service Commission. In the middle is Commission Chairman Kevin Kramer. To my right, Commissioner Tony Clark, and to my left, Commissioner Brian Kalk. At this time, I'd like the parties to state their appearances for the record. Will counsel for the applicant, Lawrence Bender, please state your appearance and who is present with you and who will be testifying for Hawthorne Oil.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 1855, Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm appearing today on behalf of Hawthorne Oil Transportation, North Dakota, Inc. in this matter. With me here today as witnesses will be Mr. Jody Davis. Also, we'll be calling Mr. Greg Jacobson. And finally, we'll be calling as a witness Mitch Shields. And also with me here today, legal counsel for EOG Resources in their corporate offices in Houston is Mr. Kerry Langham.
Thank you.
Langham. I'm sorry.
Here's his card.
All right, at this time, would counsel for the commission, Alana Jeffcoat-Sackle, please state her appearance and indicate whether the commission will be presenting a case in this matter, and if so, who's present with you?
Thank you. My name is Alana Jeffcoat-Sackle. I'm general counsel with the commission. With me today is Patrick Fawn. He's the director of compliance and competitive markets, and we are commission advisors in this case. We are not taking an advocacy position, and we do not anticipate any testimony. We do request it's a possibility that Mr. Fawn may have some questions that we would seek permission to ask directly. At this time, though, we really don't know if that's for certain or not.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It appears from my review of the file that there are no interveners in this matter. At this time, I'm going to ask, is there anyone present who intended to intervene in this matter? Okay, I see no one. Thank you. I see a few people in the audience here. At this time, I'd like to ask, is there anyone else who is going to be testifying either as a proponent of the application or a protestant? Any of you out there who are going to be testifying, please raise your hands. Okay, I don't see any hands raised. At this time, those of you who are going to be testifying, when you are giving your testimony, please come to the podium. There is a sign-in sheet at the podium. Sign your name and who you're representing there, and then introduce yourself to the commission before you testify. For those of you testifying, just a couple of instructions. All witness testimony at this hearing is taken under oath and is subject to penalties for perjury. By law, I'm required to inform witnesses as to the penalties for perjury. Perjury in the state of North Dakota is a Class C felony. It's punishable by a maximum fine of $5,000, maximum 5 years in prison, or both. A statement of the application was set forth in the October 14th, 2009 notice of filing and notice of hearing. On September 28, 2009, Hawthorne Oil Transportation filed an application for a waiver of procedures and timelines and a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit to construct approximately 6 miles of 8-inch diameter steel pipeline that will transport crude oil from an oil storage facility located in section 27T156NR91W in Mountrail County to an oil storage facility in section 14T156NR91W in Mountrail County. This is a public hearing on Hawthorne Oil's application. The issues to be considered were specified in the notice of filing and notice of hearing. I'm not going to reiterate those. Those are part of the record. This is the hearing procedure that will be followed in this matter. Hawthorne Oil will first be given the opportunity to present its case for granting its request to waive the procedures and time schedules in this matter and its application for a corridor certificate and route permit. Each witness called by the applicant will be subject to questioning by Commission Counsel and the Commissioners, and Mr. Fahn, if he has any questions. I may also ask some questions. Upon completion of the applicant's presentation of its case, we will take any other questions that are necessary. No one else raised their hand as far as any further testimony. So after we complete Hawthorne Oil's case, the commission is acting as an advisor and they will not be presenting a case. The burden of proof is on the applicant, Hawthorne Oil, to show by a preponderance of evidence that its waiver request and application should be granted. Are there any questions concerning the procedures to be followed? All right, hearing none. At this time, I'm going to ask the commission for any opening comments, beginning with Commission Chairman Kevin Kramer.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just want to welcome everybody. Good morning or good afternoon. And, you know, we've become increasingly familiar with Stanley and much of the infrastructure around it. We've become increasingly familiar with EOG because they seem to be the big players in this area. So we appreciate that and appreciate this opportunity. We also appreciate that fact that coming up here this morning, we had a close-up view of wind farms, coal mines, power plants, and a hydro generating dam. And so it's not lost on us what a pipeline means in the other part of our energy industry. It's actually quite exciting, and we're glad to be able to be a part of it. We're bullish on North Dakota and the economic opportunities that energy development presents for it. We are at the same time diligent about ensuring that any development is done in a proper manner that has minimal adverse impact on our cultural and natural resources and people. So we appreciate the opportunity to be of service and look forward to a thorough and complete review. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Clark?
Just good afternoon and welcome. If there are members of the public who are here, we'd certainly welcome any testimony that you have to provide. That's why we hold these in the county in which the project is going into. As always, it's good to be back in Stanley in Mountrail County, which, as Kevin noted, we've done a number of times now, and look forward to a good hearing.
Thank you. Commissioner Kalk?
Just once again, good afternoon. Thank you for all the work that you put into prior to this hearing. I look forward to your testimony.
Thank you, commissioners. Mr. Bender, does the applicant wish to make a brief opening statement?
excuse me, Your Honor, very, very briefly. As I indicated earlier, Your Honor, we intend to call three witnesses in this matter. Our first witness will be Jody Davis. Mr. Davis is going to spend a little time discussing the need for this project. He's going to talk a little bit about the interrelationship of the companies that are involved, not only in the construction of this project, but the companies that are involved in producing oil in the area that draws a need for this project. Mr. Davis is going to spend a little time talking about the design and construction of the pipeline, and he's going to wrap things up with a discussion of the scheduling for the construction of this pipeline if the application submitted by Hawthorne is approved. Our next witness will be Greg Jacobson. Mr. Jacobson, as Mr. Davis, is also an employee of EOG Resources. He's going to discuss his involvement with the project. He's going to talk a little bit about what was done with respect to acquiring right-of-ways, acquiring various permits from other federal, state, and local agencies. He's going to talk a little bit about the area that the corridor encompasses and the route encompasses in terms of exclusion areas and avoidance areas. Our last witness is going to be Mr. Mitch Shields. Mr. Shields is with HDR Engineering, and he's going to talk about the environmental analysis that Hawthorne requested be done for the construction of this line. He's going to discuss the route and the impact and mitigation that will take place if this application is granted and the permit is approved and the line is ultimately built. And then he's finally going to wrap things up with issues raised by federal, state, and local agencies. Before I call Mr. Davis as a witness, I would like to point out one thing for the record, Your Honor. When the letter of intent was filed several months ago, there was an error in that letter of intent in that it indicated that this line was going to be 12 inches. There was also an error in the sense that it indicated that I believe it was going to cost $5 million to construct this line. A letter was subsequently sent after the error was pointed out, and we corrected the amount that it was going to cost to build this line, but we did not correct the fact that it was going to be a 8-inch line rather than a 12-inch line. Everything that you're going to see here today that was previously filed in terms of the application subsequent to the letter of intent reflects that it is an 8-inch line, and that's what Hawthorne intends to build, Your Honor. With that in mind, our first witness is Jody Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. Mr. Davis, please take the podium. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury?
I will.
Thank you. Mr. Bender.
Your Honor, is it all right if he sits here? Or did you want him at the podium for the testimony?
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Jody, what I'd like to do, first of all, is have you state your full name for the record, please, and spell your last name.
My full name is Jody Lee Davis. Last name is D-A-V-I-S.
And Jody, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I am employed by EOG Resources, and I am the operations manager for our midstream entity here in North Dakota.
Okay. And could you tell us a little bit about the midstream entity with respect to the applicant in this case, which is Hawthorne?
Hawthorne Oil Transportation is a subsidiary of EOG. It was formed to manage the oil transportation via pipeline to the rail yard.
And what was your responsibility with respect to submitting an application to the North Dakota Public Service Commission, as well as all the other preparatory work that's necessary to construct the pipeline that is under consideration here today?
Well, the pipeline and those various entities, the various activities that you talked about are in my authority. They are under my jurisdiction or my direction, I guess I should say. Everything from design through land, right-of-way, specifications related to the pipeline, all the way through construction.
Okay. And in conjunction with that work for EOG Resources and Hawthorne, did you direct certain others under your employment or under your direction prepare application and exhibits and things like here, like things like that we're presenting here today?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and for one, the application itself, is it fair to say that that was prepared under your control and supervision?
Yes.
Okay, I want to show you what has been marked as Exhibit 1. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, Exhibit 1 is this binder. It is the application to the PSC for the waiver that we've been talking about.
And can you tell me what Exhibit 2 is?
Exhibit 2 is what we're calling a facility map. It shows the relationship between the various companies in North Dakota.
Can you tell me what Exhibit 3 is?
Exhibit 3 is the route map for the oil pipeline.
It also shows some surface facilities.
Yes, it does show surface facilities as it relates to the Bridger facility at the tie-in point, block valves on the on each side of the Little Knife River, and various crossings under the highways and railroads and such as that.
Okay, I'm going to show you now what's been marked as Exhibit 4. Can you tell me what that is?
Exhibit 4 is an updated table that shows the various permitting applications that have been submitted for this project.
Okay. And Exhibit 5?
Exhibit 5 is a letter from the State Historical Society, SHPO, which shows concurrence with our project.
Okay, and Exhibit 6.
Exhibit 6 is a letter from the Department of Health. It is related to the stormwater pollution prevention plan.
And then finally, Mr. Davis, Exhibit 7. Can you tell me what that is?
Exhibit 7 is a letter from SWCA. This has to do with wetland delineation.
Your Honor, we'd offer Exhibits 1 through 7.
I would want to go back to Exhibit 5 for just a moment. You identified that as a letter from the State Historical Society, but tell me what's appended to it, because it's a long document.
And Your Honor, we're going to have a witness who's going to go into a little bit more detail with that, but I understand why you may want the question just for the purposes of having it offered.
To say it's more than just a letter.
Well, it's a letter with, and the attachments has to do with the various things that could be encountered as part of this project. It also has to do with how we would address those issues if something does occur or something is encountered.
And Your Honor, if you would prefer that we offer additional foundation with another witness and withhold offering that, we sure could do that.
Is there any objection, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
I don't have an objection, but I would like to ask a question. I don't think I have an objection. The attachment was prepared by the company, and the letter from SHPO is saying that information it's referencing the information prepared by the company. Is that correct? Or is it prepared by them, by Historical Society?
I'm going to have to get some help on that.
We'll offer that exhibit, Your Honor, with another witness. So we would offer Exhibits 1 through 7, leaving out Exhibit 5.
I think that's better.
Okay, sure.
Now.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like better foundation.
Okay.
All right, Exhibits 1 through 4 and Exhibits 6 and 7 are admitted.
But 3, I've got the others, but not that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Exhibit 3
is the map.
The map?
Yeah. Do you have two of them? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Kramer, you're missing Exhibit 7.
I am.
You have two.
Do you have an extra?
I have one extra 7.
That's all I need?
And one that looks like a 7, but not a 7 number, I assume. It's
Can I have that one?
Oh,
I have a short one. I don't know what
there
they must have stuck together on me.
I'm good.
Commissioners, do you all have Exhibits 1 through 7 now?
That's why I was short.
We do, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. You've admitted exhibits 1 through 4, 6, and 7. Go ahead, Mr. Bender, please.
Thank you very much. Jody, what I'd like to do, first of all, is discuss for us briefly why Hawthorne has requested this project.
Well, there's several reasons why we would like to do this project and have it heard by the commission. First off, EOG is a big player in Montreal County. We're currently somewhere around 45,000 barrels per day of oil production. And there is a need to handle this oil in a good manner, both environmentally and with the idea of trying to increase the revenue for mineral owners, the state, obviously EOG, and do this in a timely manner as well. What we are proposing today is to install a pipeline up to our new EOG rail yard from the Bridger facility and do this in a very timely manner. We want to be environmentally sensitive. We want to eliminate as much truck traffic as we can. And there's a lot of benefits to that, of course. There is a limited infrastructure in place regarding roads and highways and trucking facilities. And if we can get this pipeline in place, we will address that directly. That's the main reasons. That's certainly the main reasons why we would like to do this.
Okay, we'll come back to some of those issues later, Jody, but let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned Bridger, you mentioned the rail yard facility, we've been talking about Hawthorne. Let's go to Exhibit 2 in the exhibits that we've distributed to the commission and the judge as well as the staff. Why don't you tell me what Exhibit 2 is, and why don't you briefly describe some of the things that are contained upon Exhibit 2?
Exhibit 2, if you'll look at the top half of the drawing, Exhibit 2 has to do with our North Dakota operations. In the top left corner of that drawing, we have the Bridger Stanley equipment and facilities. Bridger gathers oil from EOG and other third-party companies. They gather this oil and take it to their tank, and they also have pumping facilities. They also have truck loading facilities that are able to receive oil and put it into their tanks. What we're proposing to do is install a pipeline under the name of Hawthorne. We would tie in to the Bridger facilities. At the Bridger facilities, we're going to have pumps, pig launching facilities, a meter skid, things of that nature. We would then install the pipeline over to the EOG rail yard, approximately 6 miles. At that location, we'll have a pig receiving facility, metering skids, and then be able to handle that oil that's transferred through the Hawthorne pipeline at the rail yard. Now, the Hawthorne facilities are indicated in the top center of the drawing. The top right-hand side of the drawing is the EOG rail yard. Those facilities are able to receive the oil from the Hawthorne pipeline and then load the oil into trains, into rail cars, and then transport that oil to various end users. And what we're proposing is for that oil to get down to Oklahoma.
Jody, before you go to the bottom part of the exhibit, let me ask you a couple of questions with respect to some of the matters you've already discussed. The Bridger Stanley facility, as you have it depicted on Exhibit 2, that is a facility that's already been constructed and is operating. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's existing just south of Highway 2.
Okay, so it is gathering oil by pipeline from EOG oil and gas producing wells, as well as other operators' wells. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's also receiving oil by trucks through a truck unloading station. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then as far as distribution of that oil, there is a truck loading facility where oil can be trucked out of that facility. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And then if we go to the far right of Exhibit 2, you have EOG Railroad North Dakota. Tell us what the status of that facility is.
That facility is essentially complete. It is 99% plus complete. In fact, we're starting some commissioning activities this week for some of our truck unloading facilities, and we're going to start purging and admitting oil into the piping and to the tanks and things of that nature.
So as that facility is constructed, it will be set up in such a way that it can accept crude oil from trucks. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, it's indicated that we're going to be having 4 truck unloading racks.
Okay. And the part that we're talking about here today, the Hawthorne part of this, is the middle section where Hawthorne is planning on constructing approximately 6 miles of pipeline from the Bridger facility to the EOG railroad facility. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And you also have on here condensate pipeline. Can you tell us what that is?
The condensate pipeline, that's a future project that we're looking at that may or may not be needed, but it is indicated on this drawing as being a possible project. What it is a condensate stream that would be suitable for oil sales.
And Hawthorne has, in fact, submitted a letter of intent to the commission for the construction of that line. Asked you a question, didn't know the answer to it.
I don't think, have we
yes.
done that? Okay, we have done that. I didn't think we had done that yet, but we have.
Okay. All right, let's go on to the next part of the exhibit, starting in the center where it says BNSF. And then work through the rest of that for us.
Yeah, after the rail cars are loaded at the EOG rail yard, the unit train, which is by definition 100 rail cars, will be transported by BNSF down to Oklahoma. It'll be transported down to the Stroud facility. It's a new facility that Hawthorne is installing in Oklahoma, where they can receive oil, and then EOG Rail Yard will receive the oil, and then Hawthorne in Oklahoma will transport that oil to the Enbridge facility up in Cushing, Oklahoma. The idea, once again, is to get the oil down to a hub, if you will, which is Cushing, where oil can go just about to any refinery in the country at that point.
And Jody, just tell us very briefly, what are some of the advantages of this permit being approved so that the construction of this pipeline can take place?
First off, the biggest advantage is eliminating truck traffic. Right now, to truck, if you will, 40,000 barrels of oil per day, which is what the Hawthorne oil pipeline is designed for, we're talking about 200 trucks per day. That's a lot of oil. That's a lot of truck traffic. The pipeline will eliminate 200 trucks per day of oil being handled and moved around in Montreal County. The second benefit, of course, is greater oil revenue. It's less expensive to transport the oil via train than it is via trucks. And that is going to have huge benefits to the mineral owners in the state, to the state for the state regarding revenue, and obviously for EOG.
Just a follow-up question, Jody. Couldn't you just put it in another existing pipeline so that you didn't even need the train? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, some of the oil right now currently is pumped into the Enbridge pipeline. If you'll notice, that is part of the Bridger facility. But Enbridge is pretty well maxed out right now. I know they do have some expansion projects that are coming up, but they are down the road a bit. They're not meeting the time frame that we would like to meet, and basically there's just not any pipelines for this oil to go. 40,000 barrels per day is a lot of oil to handle in the area, and we need another outlet.
So getting the oil to the rail loading facility provides another market for crude oil in the state of North Dakota.
You bet.
Okay. Jody, let's now talk a little bit about some of the design and construction issues with respect to this this line.
Yeah. This this pipeline is an 8-inch pipeline. It's designed to move 40,000 barrels of oil per day. Now, I do want to point out in the application on page 416, we do have an error and it needs to be corrected. It's on page 416, and it has to do with the maximum allowable operating pressure. It in the application, it states 1440 PSIG. It's actually 740 PSIG. So I want to make a note of that, and we'll follow up with a correction on that. The pipeline is expected to operate at 475 PSIG. Now, that's at the full design flow rate of 40,000 barrels per day.
Okay, and you want to talk a little bit about some of the surface facilities that you will have and, you know, the pipeline itself in terms of thickness, et cetera?
Yeah. At the Bridger facility, Hawthorne will be installing a oil pump, we'll be installing a meter skid, and we'll be installing pigging facilities. All of those facilities, all of those surface facilities are going to be installed on the Bridger property itself. The oil pump is an electric drive pump. It's going to be approximately 1,000 horsepower. It will not be engine drive, which is critical for us. It's an electric drive pump, and it will be supplying the pressure to transport the oil down the pipeline at approximately 475 pounds. The meter skids are all LACT unit type meter skids. They will be able to measure the oil very accurately from a flow rate standpoint, density, any other type of contaminants that might be in the oil. And the pigging facility, the pig launching facility at Bridger, will be used for periodic inspections of the pipeline regarding mechanical integrity, things of that nature.
Go ahead.
Now, on the delivery end of the pipeline at the EOG rail yard, we'll be having a pig receiving facility, and we'll also be having a meter skid at that location to deliver oil to EOG rail yard. So we'll know what the oil flow rate is entering and exiting the pipeline.
Now, Jody, you're going to be doing some crossing of different roads and as well as BNSF. Can you tell us a little bit about how Hawthorne plans on handling that?
Yes, that's shown in one of the exhibits, the routing map.
Okay, let's go to that.
I believe it's route or exhibit number 3.
Right.
First off, leaving the Bridger facility, we'll be crossing the Little Knife River. The Little Knife River, it will be bored. The pipeline will be bored. And on each side of the river, we will be having block valves. Those block valves are to block in the line in case there's ever a need to do so. Going on north, we'll be crossing Highway 2. That crossing is also bored. We'll be crossing the BNSF Mainline Railroad. That particular crossing is bored, but it will also be cased. The 8-inch pipeline will be installed in a 12-inch casing. Heading on north, we then enter Section 14, which is the EOG rail yard, where we'll have the pig receiving and metering facilities at that location.
Okay. Jody, let's now talk just very briefly about timing in terms of when this facility will be constructed if the permit is approved by the North Dakota Public Service Commission.
Yeah, timing in our viewpoint is very critical on this. The obviously we want to implement this project as soon as practical. It will require about 3 to 4 weeks to install these facilities after approval. We would certainly like to beat the harsh winter time construction if we can avoid it. But the other aspect of this is we would like to get the oil to market as quickly as possible to a better market than what we have today. Obviously, truck traffic is an issue. I know we see trucks every day up here. As soon as we can get this project implemented, that is going to be dramatically reduced, all the truck traffic.
Your Honor, I don't have any other questions at this point in time for this witness.
Thank you. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle, do you have questions for Mr. Davis?
I think Pat would, and I'll ask it, and if I'm wrong, Pat can correct me, but that the crossing after the row, I'm not sure what the second red line is, unless that's the Highway 2 crossing. You had mentioned you're boring that as you're heading north, Little Knife first, and then the diagonal is Highway 2, I take
yeah,
it?
Yeah, if I can point. This is Highway 2 okay. right here. That red line is Highway 2.
Okay, and you did refer to that then?
Yes, and okay. This is the pipeline route. Highway 2 will be bored. It will be
okay.
installed via a boring technique.
Thanks.
Any other questions, Mr. Fahn?
Yes, on the Highway 2 boring, how long will that bore be?
I would have to refer to our alignment sheets, but we do, if necessary, we can call someone else.
Can you answer from looking at the alignment sheet?
I can.
Okay.
Do you have the alignment sheet?
Mr. Davis, you're the only one under oath right at this time. If you need to defer, you can call someone else.
I think by looking at a document, though, he may be able to answer the question.
I guess another way to ask the question is, will the bore be the full length of the Knife River? Embankment, one embankment to the other, or just the highway?
The bore under the highway also encompasses what you see as being indicated as the Little Knife River up north of the highway. Let me look at this drawing very quickly right here. I don't know if we can tell fully on this. I believe I'm going to have to look at a different type drawing, which we may not have available today, to answer that length of that bore.
Your Honor, we may have to call another witness, too, to answer that question. So maybe we can take a short recess after we've completed the three witnesses, see if we have somebody here who can respond to it.
Is that acceptable, Mr. Fahn?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have another question?
I'm looking at Exhibit 2, and the drawing shows the crude oil pipeline subject to this proceeding. You know, it looks like there's some additional piping that would go over to the Bridger-Stanley facility from that tank to the crude oil pipeline in gray there, that piping. That piping isn't an extension of this transmission line, is it? It's really, the gray piping really ends at the Bridger-Stanley facility?
The gray piping is actually on the Bridger-Stanley facility.
Okay. And the same thing on the other side where the Hawthorne pipeline connects to the EOG rail yard, that green piping is really on the rail yard property?
Yes, the green piping is on the rail yard pipe.
Okay, so there isn't any additional piping that would be considered transmission piping?
No, that's correct. There is not any additional piping.
Okay.
Any other questions, Mr. Fawn or Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackl?
I don't have any right now.
No, no more questions.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions? Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. A few. First of all, just in terms of reconciling numbers again, and maybe I missed this one, but your intention is, and it's designed to carry 40,000 barrels per day. There's in a couple of documents I noticed a maximum design flow of 60,000 barrels per day. Is that with additional pressure, or is could you explain that difference to me?
The pipeline itself, an 8-inch pipeline, approximately 6 miles long, can carry as much as 60,000 barrels of oil per day. Our intent, though, is to run 40,000 barrels per day through it initially.
Initially,
so,
okay.
So it initially, yes. So its design capability could go higher, but we would also have to add more pumping capacity on the entry to the pipeline, and that's really not our intent at this point.
Sure. Okay. To help me get a perspective, I'm going to ask a few questions about the rail facility itself, and some of this might be prior knowledge, or it might have been from reading it in the application. I don't remember, so I want to get it clarified. What is the capacity of the rail yard itself? I know there are two tanks, and are they 60,000 barrels each? Does that sound right?
Right. The two tanks that you see on this drawing, the two tanks are in a green color. Those are each 60,000 barrels per day. The loading facility itself can load one unit train, one 100 car train in 12 hours. And one unit train is 60,000 barrels per day.
Okay.
And so we can load as much as 60,000 barrels per day in a 12-hour period.
So theoretically, or maybe technically, with complete ramp-up, there would be potential capacity in a 24-hour period of loading two trains if everything was available and running perfectly. You could do
120,000 barrels per day. That would be nice.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Okay.
That's the number you could zero in on the rail yard itself.
Now, you mentioned obviously 40,000 barrels per day doesn't fill the capacity of the rail. So are there other pipelines like the Pecan line that goes to Enbridge? Is there an offload to this facility along in any way? Or are there any other ways of loading onto this rail facility besides this pipeline, some trucks?
Well, trucking is if you notice truck unloading, that's a big part of the rail facility. As EOG, as Pecan lays gathering systems from the north of Highway 2, there could be an opportunity, and most likely will be an opportunity for the North Bakken.